It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hello and welcome to Sleep Well, Stay Well. I'm your host, sleep and health journalist, Malia Jacobson. Happy February. During the month of February, I am devoting several episodes to sharing a bed with a partner and the issues and conflicts that can come up and prevent you from sharing a bed with your partner the way that you want to. One of those issues is snoring, and I'm really excited to devote an episode to this topic. I'm kind of surprised that I haven't covered it already. It is something that comes up so often for so many people, and couples especially. My guest today is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, sleep and integrative medicine expert who specializes in curing the root causes of fatigue. I had him on last fall. I interview him often for various articles, and he is a great expert, a host, he has so much wisdom to share on everything related to sleep and can bring in a lot of expertise in conventional medicine as well as integrative medicine for people who are really trying to find the root causes for some of these issues, whether it is snoring or fatigue in general. He is one of the most frequently quoted integrative medical authorities in the world and the author of the best-selling From Fatigued to Fantastic book. He appears often as a guest on news and talk shows nationwide, including Good Morning America, The Dr. Oz Show, Oprah and Friends, and CNN. I am really excited to have him back as a guest and to explore this topic. Hopefully, one of the solutions that we mention can help get you and your partner sharing a bed successfully in time for Valentine's Day. Here's hoping. Let's get Dr. Teitelbaum on the line.
Dr. Teitelbaum, thank you so much for joining me. It's great to speak with you again. How are you?
Always a pleasure, and doing fantastic here on the Big Island of Hawaii. We're going to be talking to people about not just having love and having a bed to share with someone you love, but how to enjoy it. So
that's right.
I'm looking forward to talking about a basic need, which is to be able to get sleep. So we'll talk about that and what to do if your hubby is snoring.
Right. Yeah, it is such a topic that I think doesn't get quite enough attention. And that's because when somebody snores, a lot of times they're not aware that they're doing it. So there's this whole communication thing that happens in a partnership where you first have to convince your partner that it's a problem. And then you can start to work on it. Do you see that with the people that you work with, where there's this whole baseline of agreeing that it's a problem before you can even start working on it?
I usually don't see that, because the most often it's going to be the husband, and most often the wife has, you know, if the husband says, "No, I'm not snoring," and she says, "Yes, you are, you're asleep," that doesn't go over very well. So usually the husband or the wife, whoever it is, it's harder the other way around for a husband to tell the wife, "Honey, I love you dearly, but you snore." That doesn't play well, and it's more the husbands are going to keep their mouth shut. But when it's a husband snoring, they tend to acknowledge it.
Right. Now, I did look at some statistics, and it looks like what I could find was about 45% of adults overall snore, 25% are habitual snorers, and about half of men snore. But that sounds low to me. It seems like, just anecdotally, almost every woman that I speak to or person with a male bed partner will say that their bed partner snores, and it doesn't seem to matter if the man is, and I know I'm generalizing here, but it doesn't seem to matter if the man is fit, athletic, tall, short, you know, anywhere from 60 to 30, you know, it just really doesn't seem to matter life stage or weight or build or level of fitness or type of diet that they eat. It just really seems to be that men snore more often. And I take it from just the conversation that we've already had that that is true, that men do snore more often than women. But why is that?
Well, one, men tend to be bigger, so they're more likely to get a larger neck and kind of block the airway, which is what snoring is. So you can see snoring occur at many levels. It can occur in nasal congestion at night, and that you'll see in women just like men. It can happen when the throat, you know, you look at the back of your throat, you see this little kind of wiggling when you go, you know, and all the tissues back there can be larger in men. Those will go like this and snore when people are having it. Just obstructive sleep apnea is more common in men. So a number of the things that trigger the problem are more likely in the guys.
So let's talk about the physiology of snoring, because when I have looked into this, there are so many different devices. There's, of course, everything from breathe right strips that open the nasal passages to mouth guards that change the alignment of the jaw. And it really kind of brings up the question, well, where does snoring really originate, or where does it happen? Because my sense is that when snoring gets really loud and problematic, it's not coming from the nose. It's coming from, you know, deeper into the, in the throat. So where is snoring really happening?
Yeah, if you're lying next to somebody who's sounding like a Boeing 747, yeah, that's more likely going to be sleep apnea or coming from floppy, soft palate, or the top of the mouth in the back, that soft part, that gets floppy and the air goes by it and it basically go like this, and you'll see it from that. So for that, some people actually do surgery to trim back those tissues so they're not as floppy. If they're in the throat, and if you have a nickname of being the refrigerator or something because you're 320 pounds, and basically if you have a neck size greater than 17 or greater for a shirt size, that's going to likely constrict the airway when you get in the wrong position. If you think about it, if you have a balloon where you have air coming out and you're pinching the neck of the balloon, and say you pinch the neck tight, you'll hear these sounds like coming out of the balloon. It's what's happening in the neck too. The airway gets constricted and it makes all these maybe funny or not funny, depending on how you want to look at it, noises.
Okay, so you mentioned a surgery where somebody would get those tissues trimmed back. Is there a name for that surgery? And what are those tissues called? Are those that you're not talking about the adenoids, right? You're talking about a different tissue.
I mean, some people you'll see that as well. So the ENT doctor can look at it and tell you. But basically it's the uvula is the little thing that hangs down, and then the soft palate around it is what that's attached to. So trimming back those areas. And it's just called a plasty, basically. But the ear, nose, throat doctors can do that with a laser. Not how to begin. Let's go through some easier ways to begin, perhaps. I think that might be more helpful.
Right. But first, I did want to ask, because you mentioned weight and neck size. I have heard anecdotally and heard people say that when they lose weight or when their partner loses a significant amount of weight, snoring reduces or sometimes stops. Is that the case? Can losing weight affect this?
Absolutely. If you are having the snoring coming from the sleep apnea mostly, then losing weight is the best solution. And even if you're like 300 pounds, you don't have to lose 120 pounds. Even 10, 20 pounds can make all the difference. So that's a really good place to begin if you're able to. It's funny, for men, if they cut out sugar, especially sodas, they'll often drop 20 pounds like that, where women, it doesn't seem to do the same thing.
I know,
it's not fair.
Men can just cut out their Coke with lunchtime and they'll drop 10 pounds in a week. So yeah, some things just aren't fair.
but so have your hubby go ahead, or, you know, the guy, if they're drinking sodas and even fruit juices, it's the same 3/4 teaspoon per ounce. So if you're drinking a 16 ounce soda or a 16 ounce orange juice today, that's 12 spoons of sugar. I mean, let's think about it. It's massive. So they can go with the diet sodas, not perfect, but better than the regular sodas. Better yet, go with fruit juices, things that don't have sugar in them for as their drink. And that's a quick way for many of them to lose weight and for you to get some sleep.
Right. Yeah. For the folks who maybe don't want to do the surgical route or some of the other things. But let's talk about some of the easier things, maybe sleeping in a different position or maybe some of those other things that you can do to help address this.
Yep. So take a look. If you're the snorer, ask a bed partner to notice whether you are mostly lying on your back when you snore, or if it happens even on your side routinely. Most people are back snorers. That's when the airway collapses backwards from gravity when you're lying on your back. And that's when you see the snoring. And that's why people keep getting these elbows in the side to get them to roll over on their side when they're snoring. If you look at the sitcoms, right, that's the classic thing.
Yeah, so, I have heard of people sleeping in pajamas with special pockets in the back, and then they put tennis balls in the back so that they can't roll onto their back.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, if it works, it works.
Exactly. And you don't need to get a special pajama. Just take a baggie, put a tennis ball in. If you like to sew it into the small of the back. Just otherwise, just pin it into the small of the back. And this way, when your hubby is lying on his back, it's uncomfortable. And instead of you having to elbow him all night and you're getting arrested for assault and battery because he's all black and blue along the side, he'll just roll over naturally on the side. And that could be a real nice peacemaker to begin with.
Right. Okay. So there's the position. What else can people do that's kind of an easy fix?
So the order that it starts with is, again, position, as you mentioned, losing the weight. The other thing, again, do consider that it may be coming from the nose instead of from down here. So ask, you know, or if you're the snorer, do you have nasal congestion at nighttime? If you have nasal congestion, especially if you have it during the day as well, if you have a nasal congestion most of the day, or especially if you have chronic sinusitis, that needs to be addressed. Most doctors are simply not trained in how to address that properly. So let me give you what the information you need to know. 95%, unless it's allergic and seasonal, about 95% of chronic nasal congestion and sinusitis, or chronic sinusitis at least, comes from fungal or candida overgrowth in the sinuses. It's the body reacting to those fungal elements. And if you take an antifungal like Diflucan, the ladies may be fully familiar with that medication where if they have a vaginal candida infection, they get one tablet. But for the sinuses, it takes 6 to 12 weeks of the medication, along with a good nose spray that's made by a compounding pharmacy that has an antifungal. And you can knock out the sinusitis often long-term or permanently. What happens instead is that the person keeps getting sinusitis, it gets blocked up, they get a secondary bacterial infection, they get an antibiotic, and antibiotics make candida or fungal overgrowth worse. So the early sinusitis becomes chronic and then they're snoring the whole time. So find a holistic doctor who will treat for the candida. That will knock out the sinusitis. And that's a really good place to begin. You mentioned earlier, Malia, you could be doing this for yourself because you really got this nailed. You mentioned the Breathe Right nose strips. Those are a really good place to begin. They're a little elastic Band-Aid. You put it over the bridge of the nose and it's adhesive and it pulls out. And that keeps the airway open. Nice, simple way to begin. You'll know in the first 2-3 nights if it's going to be working. If you don't tolerate it on the outside, there's a number of other ones that go inside the nose that will open up the airway as well. So these simple measures, if you're breathing here and you have obstructed here, can open up the nose either with the device or just with it treating the underlying candida. And that really has a remarkable effect on getting rid of the snoring in a good number of people.
Right. And then that brings up another question. A lot of people will use a humidifier in their room. Is that something that can help? It seems like we have to be careful with humidifiers here in the Pacific Northwest because it is already so humid that sometimes bringing more moisture inside the home doesn't seem like a good idea. What are your thoughts about those?
It depends on the humidity of the room. If you're in a place that's really incredibly humid and during the summertime, you're not going to need it. If you have the heating system on because it's winter, the heating systems almost invariably put out very dry air. So if you feel like things are chapped and uncomfortable in the morning, for most people, they don't need it. But if somebody feels like they need humidity because everything is dry and the heating system is on, Yep, turn it on in the middle of the summer, though, leave it off.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. And what about, so when you mentioned the chronic sinusitis, are there dietary things that people can do or supplements that you recommend in addition? You know, I've seen a big change in my own health in that area since I cut out dairy a few years ago. And it's made a huge difference for me. I know not everyone wants to go all the way to dairy free, but it does, it has made a difference for me.
Well, it is a funny thing because the dairy allergy, if you look at children who have chronic ear infections and things along those lines, that's almost entirely dairy and dairy allergy. So you're like a big kid, Malia. You
know? Oh, just, I know. Well, aren't we all though?
But
it's not, I want to be clear though, it's not lactose intolerance. Because when I say this to people, they say, oh, you're lactose intolerant. And I say, no.
It's allergy to casein. It's the casein protein that they're allergic to.
Right. Okay. So for some people that can make a difference with the sinusitis. Yep.
But Malia, I would have them start with the sugar.
Okay.
Because yeast grow by fermenting sugar. So when you have, if your gut is full of candida and you throw those, you know, get one of those 48-ounce big burp sodas with 36 spoons of sugar and you're pouring that down your throat. If you've ever seen a fermentation tank and it's all gassy and bubbly and it looks like a party from hell, if you're, you know, you're having the candida block party and they are making billions of baby candidas and those are all like that. So stop feeding the little buggers. They eat sugar and sweets. So cut out the sugar and sweets. A good probiotic is a good way to begin. There are a number of natural antifungals, grapefruit seed extract, olive leaf. Caprilex is a very good one. It's a form of caprylic acid that doesn't cause acid reflux. For probiotics, I like the Pearls Elite. Most probiotics are killed by stomach acid, and they don't put up much of a fight against the candida. The 99% are dead before they ever get out of the stomach. So the Pearls Elite are like little pearls. They're like little tanks that carry your soldiers through the battlefield, you know, of the acid in the stomach, and they don't melt till they get after the stomach, and then they release healthy bacteria to fight. So the Pearls Elite are a very good one. Lufeniron, interestingly, is a flea killer for pets, but you can get online from Canada. That also is good for the candida.
I missed that.
Lufeniron, Lufeniron. And but the best thing is find a holistic doctor though who will prescribe the Diflucan, and the ITC compounding pharmacy makes a prescription nose spray. Those two together in the vast majority of people will take care of the problem, and that's really where people need to begin.
Right. And if you don't know where your local compounding pharmacy is, I would suggest to any listener just type it into Google and find it. They will be your friend. And they're a wonderful resource to have for everything from when your child has a rash to you need something for your pet. You just really need to know your folks at your local compound pharmacy. Ours here in Tacoma is on South Union Avenue. And I have been there over the years many times for different ailments from nursing and baby and pregnancy stuff. You got to have them. You got to have them in your phone.
Absolutely. And then you can ask them who a good holistic doctor is when we have sinusitis and you want to.
Right, right. Yeah. It. So,
what you can do too, they may not really be familiar with the sinusitis nose spray formula, but they can email me and or contact me and I can give them the recipe.
Okay. And then I was on the nose spray front. I have seen, and I think I actually have a nose spray with grapefruit seed extract in it. So
those are about that effective.
Yeah. Well, grapefruit seed extract is so powerful and can be so drying to tissues.
Yep.
That I'm not sure. I mean, I have it. I think I bought it at one point because grapefruit extract works really well in other situations. But yeah, I don't think it's ever gotten much use.
Yeah, they'll have that, the tea tree oil, which can be irritating, things along those lines. But the prescription compounded sinusitis nose spray is good. Most over-the-counter nose sprays like Efrin will feel better for about an hour, and then they'll make the problem worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So that's not a good way to go. The steroid nose sprays, those are a little bit better, but they will also cause the candida to overgrow over time. So I don't recommend those. I recommend the compounding pharmacies can make one, and then you just have to talk your doctor into calling and okaying that they write it for you. They can walk your doctor into how to order it. So
right, yeah, and they will do that. You just have to work with them. I wanted to ask about the jaw positioning devices that are out there, the different mouth guards and so forth that are supposed to help with snoring. There's different doctors that I've spoken to over the years who recommend this one or that one. What do you think about those?
Well, the classic thing that they'll use is a sleep apnea thing. But again, it's only about a quarter of people tolerate that. So going with that device is a very good way to begin. And if you picture, notice how you breathe now, and then move your jaw back towards your, try to breathe. You'll notice it's hard to breathe. And if you move your jaw forward, the airway opens right up. So what they do is they take a device that just moves your jaw forward while you're sleeping. And that can be arguably the most effective treatment for sleep apnea outside of weight loss. So finding a good dentist who does the mouth guards, and I'm not talking about a bite guard, but a guard for sleep apnea, a mouth device is a better word to use, not guard, is a very good way to begin. They can be a bit expensive. The insurance may not cover it, but if it's doable, that's probably after weight loss how I would begin in treating it myself.
Right. And so you're not talking about the sleep apnea continuous positive airway pressure device. You're talking about an actual mouth guard that's, and there are dentists that specialize in sleep apnea, correct?
Yes. You want to go to a dentist, and there you can go online and look up sleep apnea and dentist, and you'll find in your area, and you'll find ones who this is what they do. So it's a really good way to begin, and they will slowly move the jaw a little bit forward and over time adjust it so it does it more and more. You don't want to immediately be sleeping. it's going to hurt, but right, they'll slowly move the bite and open up the airway that way. But I would begin with the tennis ball first.
Yeah. weight loss, tennis ball, then
mouth guard.
Yes, mouth guard. Okay. Anything else that people can do?
There are different ones. There's a new device that was just FDA approved that actually, for those who have the floppy field tissues, soft airway tissues, actually you put in your mouth 20 minutes a day and it stimulates those tissues with an electrical signal. It's not available in the United States yet. The FDA just approved it this week. So they'll probably be selling it within a year. And 20% of people, it decreased the snoring about 20% on average. So I think what they'll find is maybe 1 in 5 or 1 in 10 people will get a dramatic benefit, and 90% not so much. The issue is what they're going to charge. Historically, when they have medical devices like these that come out in Europe, they're about $200. And then when they come to the United States, they sell them for $20,000.
Oh, wow.
Because our healthcare system was utterly insane with no price controls, whatever. And price fixing, and people don't even know what they're paying because it's all free because the insurers pay it. So we don't realize that every penny the insurance pays for these insanely priced things comes out of our back pocket when we pay our fees. Yeah. So anyway, that's a whole other thing. But one thing, it may be helpful, but my suspicion is this. Yeah.
And what is that device called?
Oh, I don't even remember. Something X. They just named the company, so I don't tell the name of that yet.
But it's something that stimulates those soft tissues with electrical signals, which
yes, you wear it in your mouth for 20 minutes a day.
It sounds like some people might be good candidates for that, but for most people, maybe it's a pass.
I think if it's low cost, which it could easily be $150, $125, it's worth doing. If they put it up at $2,500 without a return policy, then wait, get it on eBay for somebody else who tries it, and they go, you know, they put it on eBay and get it done.
Yeah. Okay. So, in a year or two, that might be a good option for people. Anything else that you wanted to mention that somebody could do relatively quickly?
These are the main things. Just look for position. The other thing is, if you have dust allergies, if you find that you have it more in your home, but when you travel, you don't seem to have it. And during the day, you don't have nasal congestion, and at nighttime you do. The nasal congestion is a biggie for many, many people. Look for dust allergies. See, if you fit that kind of a thing, your allergist can test you for dust. And if there is dust, they can give you a little magic powder that you can sprinkle around and kills the little critters that live in the dust that you're actually allergic to. And then you may find that, oh my God, I sleep so much better. And the thing about snoring is, not only does it keep your bed partner from sleeping, but it keeps you from getting a good deep sleep. You wonder why you're tired all day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the question is, how do you start to suspect if you have sleep apnea? So, number one, are you more than 20 pounds overweight? Two, do you have high blood pressure? But the best marker, outside of asking your honey if you're snoring all night, is, do you fall asleep easily during the day? You know, you're getting your 8 hours a night, but you're driving home and you're starting to nod, or you're watching TV and you're out. That falling asleep easily during the day is a hallmark of sleep apnea.
Okay. And so, just to make that connection, does everyone who snores have sleep apnea?
No.
Or is it just a leading symptom?
Snoring is a big category, and sleep apnea is one subset. Sleep apnea, nasal congestion, floppy, soft tissues in the back of the throat. Each of these have their own different mechanisms.
So it does seem, if someone could get a sleep apnea diagnosis, they might be able to get some of these therapies covered by insurance, but who knows?
usually they can. The trick is getting your doctor to do the sleep study, and the insurance companies will sometimes make sure you get pre-approval, because they will sometimes try to make your life living hell to get it paid for. And they're about $1,000, a little over $1,000 to do. You can get the home sleep study now. You don't even have to worry about being in a lab for COVID. You can have it done at home. But just get insurance pre-authorization first.
Right. Okay. Sleep apnea, that would take you down a whole different road in terms of therapies and things that you would need to do to correct that. But would you say the majority of people who snore do have sleep apnea or don't?
Probably not. I don't have the data on that, but
yeah,
I would guess it's maybe 40%, but I'm pulling that number out of my ear.
Right. Okay. So most of the people who snore are just kind of your run-of-the-mill people who are snoring, and then there's maybe some of these other things going on that you mentioned.
Yeah, they have the floppy things. They've got the nasal congestion. They're snoring, and like I say, they're snoring. You know, if the walls are going to, you know, look for sleep apnea. But again, just videotape yourself sleeping if you need. See if it's mostly when you're on your back. And again, the tennis ball that you mentioned, Malia, $1 tennis ball could save you $10,000 in grief. And your doctor will most often not have it high on his list of priorities to mention.
Right. Yeah. And it is something that seems like, I'm glad that you brought up, you know, that if somebody is feeling sleepy during, you know, feeling fatigue, because you specialize in fatigue. And sometimes I think it is hard to get people to take this seriously, or to get people to, you know, for someone to get their partner to take it seriously when they're telling them that they snore, or for people to take it seriously in themselves. But snoring does matter. It is worth correcting, right?
Absolutely. Snoring severely disrupts not only your sleep quality, but equally is as disruptive to the sleep quality of your bed partner. And it is a major thing in terms of energy and how you feel during the day. So it's really okay to let your honey know, honey, you snore. We want to do these things. Watch this wonderful video that Malia has over here that you'll probably have that people can go watch afterwards. And let's follow these things. And you want to do a sleep specialist for the snoring, because most regular doctors like say, oh yeah, my dog snores. Oh, next, you know, they're going to blow you off. And they won't know half of the stuff we talked about. I mean, there's a nice study in Annals of Internal Medicine. I think it's on the order of over 95% of people with sleep apnea were missed by their internal medicine and family doctors. So that's not where you're going to get the help that you need. You need to go to a sleep doctor. But there's a lot, again, that we talked about that you can do on your own. But if your honey won't do it, get another bedroom.
Right, right. And that's, you know, and if they say, well, just wear earplugs. I will say I have looked at the best earplugs on the market. Do not block out snoring. They don't go high enough with the decibel rating. I think most earplugs block out noises up to about 30 decibels, and snoring can go up to 60 or even 90.
I can see Valentine's Day now, Malia. Here, honey, are some earplugs. Here, honey, is a tennis ball. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a joint effort. There's nothing wrong with wearing the earplugs if you're comfortable doing so. There's nothing wrong with wearing the tennis ball. So work together. You know, this is not your fault, my fault. It's nobody's fault. It's just, right. Okay, how can we make this work for both of us? But again, if you're in a relationship with a person just says, well, it's not my problem, too bad, that's indicative of other issues.
It's a compromise and it's a partnership, and no one wants the partner to feel bad and feel tired. You know, want them to feel their best. And so it's good to know that there are things that people can do. And I want to give people hope. I mean, it does seem like it's such a persistent challenge, but have you seen people make improvements with this or even?
Oh, routinely. This is just something you just take care of it. You know, you don't sit there and feel cruddy all the time. You see what's going on, you treat it, and you get better. I will note that many of those with sleep apnea, and especially if you have daytime fatigue, do have fibromyalgia, which then you've got to go after the fibro. So if you snore and if you're tired, the paradox of can't sleep even though you're exhausted, widespread pain, and brain fog, if that sounds like you, you probably have fibromyalgia. And the sleep apnea you'll see in about a third of cases, but it's not the main problem. You're chasing that, you're going to miss the main thing that's causing you to feel like hell warmed or death warmed over. But if you have fibromyalgia, my website is vitality101.com. The book From Fatigue to Fantastic will help, because your doctor will be clueless about fibromyalgia most of the time. They just don't know about it. This will teach you tired, achy, brain fog, can't sleep. You've got fibromyalgia. Now, we have now 5 published studies. So we've published, we have 2 more underway that have shown that this is very, 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 very treatable. I had it myself. It actually knocked me out of medical school and left me homeless. And yes, when if you wonder where the expression snoring like a Boeing 747 comes from, I was at a conference one day and I landed up ruining the life of the person who had the mispleasure of sharing a room with me.
Oh no.
Because I was, as he described it, snoring like a 747. He couldn't sleep and he had to go find someplace else to sleep. And where he found to sleep, unfortunately, was another woman's bed, and his wife decided to surprise him with a visit that night. But that's another story. Oh, so, wow. Yeah, snoring has been, I don't snore anymore. Yeah, so it's, you just take care of it once you know it's there.
And so you mentioned that people can email you. Where can they get in touch with you?
My email is fatigue, F-A-T-I-G-U-E. doc@gmail.com. And especially if you have fibromyalgia, there's a lot of information I can send you. There's free treatment tools that we give mostly for physicians, but they may give you some interesting tools as well. But the From Fatigue to Fantastic book is the place to begin. And I treat people worldwide with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. It can often be done by phone, and people get their lives back. You don't have to be sick with these conditions.
Well, great. Thank you so much for sharing. Oh, and I wanted to ask, did you see the article in Costco Connection, the December article?
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Your expertise. I featured your expertise in this article, and it was in December, but I think that's a publication that comes to people's homes and they just kind of thumb through it, because I'm still getting people reaching out to me based on that article, and it has a like millions and millions of people get that. I think something like 14 million people get that in their homes. So,
well, thank you.
People are still bringing it up to me, and it's like they've worked their way through the holiday mail pile, and they're now getting to it. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, I'm happy to help you with health articles in general. You might want to reach out to Costco about doing one for arthritis pain.
Right.
Because the current medications for arthritis kill over 50,000 Americans each year. And the herbals, glucosamine chondroitin, a nice one would be called Be Alive, actually decreases death rate by 25%. You're looking at 70,000 deaths a year. And I presume that they carry chondroitin glucosamine compound at Costco, and if not, they should. But if I'd be happy to help you with an article on pain in general for Costco as well, and energy.
Those are all great topics. Thank you so much. I always appreciate talking to you. You have so much wisdom to share. Thank you so much. And your website is vitality101.com. Is that right?
Yes. Malia, and everybody, it's been a pleasure. And know that whatever you have, there's very few things that cannot be effectively treated. The problem is not lack of effective treatments anymore. The problem is lack of physician education. So if the doctor says, I'm sorry, I can't help you, thank them for being honest and go find somebody who can.
Right. Thank you. That's excellent advice. Thank you again so much. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Likewise. Be well, Malia. Bye-bye, everybody.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast, now you know. Thanks for checking out the show.